It's time for our offering. We've been dared to do something. Anybody dare? Sometimes we get dared to do stupid stuff. I remember one time, I think I was in about the sixth grade, and there was this girl I really liked, and my best friend, Ronnie Hollingshead, don't laugh, that was his real name, and I were up on top of the school building in Glen. That's why you should always fence off school buildings, not let kids get on, I'm telling you. And we were up there just sitting there, and this girl I liked was coming up, and she said, "I'm coming up there and giving you a big old kiss." So Ronnie dared me to jump off the building to keep from getting kissed. I did it, and I survived, and I didn't get the kiss, and a girl never offered to kiss me again. I guess she thought, man, if I was that desperate, she wasn't going to bother with it, you know. But sometimes, and I could have broken my neck because it was two stories, and I jumped off that thing. But anyway, sometimes we do dumb things because people dare you to do. I'm gonna do some dare. We're going to do a dare game to start off, okay? Now, this is... Kids, I want y'all do this. If you're an adult and you want to do this, that's fine. I don't want to offend anybody. Anybody, no matter what your age, can do this dare game, okay? Here it goes. I dare you to stand up. Thank you, Kyle. Somebody did it. All right, stay up. We're not through. I dare you to clap one time. Good. I dare you to stand on one foot. I dare you to hop up and down now. Oh, don't hurt yourself. Now I dare you to cluck like a chicken. Come on. All right, I dare you to sit down. Okay, that's good. We better get a little out of hand here. We got to quit. How long did it take you guys to dare to be different? Because you were looking pretty different. Did it take you long? Some of y'all didn't do it, so it took you a long time, but some of you did it, and some of you, like Kyle just, I can tell Kyle was one of these guys, you could dare him to do something, and he did it right then, you know. That's why he works with the youth, because I dared him. In Joshua 14, verse 6, the children of Israel had finally entered the promised land. And folks, this was a fulfillment of a lifetime of dreams for these people. Think about that. It was a fulfillment of a lifelong dream. For Joshua and Caleb, it was a fulfillment of two lifetimes of dreams. Remember these? These were two of the scouts. You know what happened. They went into the, 12 of them went into the promised land and scouted it out. And they came back and 10 of them, "Oh, we can't do it. They're giants. We can't do it." And Joshua and Caleb says, "Yes, we can, because God's with us." And they were Baptists. They had a business meeting and they voted not to go in because there were giants. It was terrible. So they didn't, and God got frustrated with them. Well, he wasn't frustrated, he was angry with them. And he said, "Okay, y'all are going to wander around out in the desert, the wilderness, until everybody in that generation dies." Now, this was adults that died. Understand that. The children, if you were under the age, that didn't count because you weren't in on the business meeting part of it and you didn't get to vote. But your parents all had to die except for Joshua and Caleb. Now Moses and Aaron might have made it in there too, but they sinned, and because of that, they were not allowed to enter the promised land. So the only two people of the generation that failed to go in the first time who entered into the promised land were Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else, though, all these kids wandered around out in this desert for 40 years. And guys, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't fun. The desert, the wilderness is a harsh place to live. Now, God provided for them. But think about it. every once in a while, they'd get close enough to the promised land to look off over in there and see it, but they couldn't go in. But finally, the time came, and they went in, and they fit the Battle of Jericho. And Ai, they learned about obeying God, and they were in there. They were there. It was a fulfillment of a dream. Remember, Moses is dead now, so Joshua is the commander of all Israel. So Caleb, and I'm sure Caleb and Joshua were buddies. I mean, they're the only ones still old. And you know how old people are. They like to hang out at the store and talk. And that's probably what they did a lot. And so he goes to Joshua and he says, I got a favor. Here it is, verse 6 of Joshua 14. And everybody's turned there but the preacher. So let me get there. I'm sorry, I thought I had it marked. Here I am. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, to Joshua, you know the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you, or thee, at Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardst in thy day how the Anakims are giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. You might think that at his age, you just might think that he might say, well, I'm 85. You know, I'm over the hill. God doesn't have a plan for me, Deborah, anymore. You know, I'm just too old. You said that, you know. Even as old as I am, you're not old. You know? God has a plan. Lots of older people want to just sit back and let the young folks do it, you know. Well, Caleb wasn't that way, was he? He asked for the most difficult part of the country to conquer. And I wanted us to look, I thought about this, I want us to look at Caleb and his character. I want us to look at three things about his character that we see from this passage that we can all learn from. Everyone in here can learn from this. First of all, write this down. Caleb dared to be different. If you go back and look at verse 8, Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Look, everybody but about four or five people were against what Caleb was standing for. Everybody. In fact, they were so against it that they tried to kill Caleb because he was different. Let me ask you this. How many people do you know who wholly and fully follow the Lord? Well, you know, you probably don't know too many, but I'll tell you, you could probably tell me story after story that you know about people who got themselves into trouble because they did not fully follow the Lord. And I could ask in this room, have you ever gotten in trouble because you weren't fully following the Lord? And I'd have to raise my hand too. We understand that for a follower of Christ who refuses to follow the Lord fully, there is going to be problems. And that's what happened to the Israelites. You know, they failed to fully follow the Lord into the promised land at God's command, and every adult except for Joshua and Caleb died before God once again blessed their efforts to enter the land. Oh man, there are rewards for those people who dare to be different. There are rewards, folks, there for the man or woman who stands for God. If there is anything we can learn from Caleb, it is to stand for God, even if it makes us different, look different, act different. You remember, many of you, that it used to be more uncommon to not stand for the values of the Word of God than it was to stand for the Bible. It was so common that people, even politicians, would at least give lip service to the idea that we are going to act as a Christian nation. Unfortunately, you can write this down if you don't know it already, that we live in a time now where it is more popular, it is just more popular politically to stand against biblical principles than it is to stand for biblical principles. And we see this. We see this even if you read the Baptist record. You don't have to look far, do you, Wade? I mean, even in our own denomination, even in our own seminaries, even in our own churches, we see that people are not standing for truth. They are doing what's politically correct. Well, my challenge to us, to each person in this room, is for us to be like Caleb and just stand for God and His principles no matter what the odds are. Let's serve God with joy. Let's honor and praise God and encourage each other and encourage our families to do that. So Caleb dared to be different, and not only that, he also had a spirit, write this down, of a perpetual youth. If you go back to our passage and look at verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Here is a man, folks, who is 85 years old, asking, write it down, for the toughest job. And God had honored him with the strength to do that. He said, I'm just as strong now as I was when I went in and spied out the land when I was a young man of 40. Some of y'all are saying, that's not too young, but it is. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I want to challenge you to dare to take on tough jobs. We need to be like Caleb here. Take on the toughest job we can possibly find. And that's the way to gain strength from God. God always gives you the strength you need to do what He wants you to do. William Carey, the father of modern mission, said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. And what that means is, if you are out there trying to do what God wants you to do, you'll do great things. And William Carey, you know, he was in India for, you know, 20-something years before one person got saved. William Carey translated the Bible into over 80 Indian dialects, and he'd worked and worked and worked and, you know, all those years to do that. And one night, the building where he had all his work and manuscripts, they didn't have computers, caught on fire and burned it all up. I don't know about you, I'd just start crying. And you know how it does when your computer crashes and everything's gone. Can you imagine all of that work? You know what William Carey did? He just started over. Did it again, you know. And by the time it was over, he had started several churches and a college, and God was using his work mightily, those Bible translations, because he attempted to do great things. A shoemaker. That's what he was. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't go to college. He was a shoemaker. But he was smart. He knew Greek and Hebrew well enough to translate the Bible. So anyway, do what you can. Expect God to honor your efforts. And remember, you're young. I tell people this. People sometimes say, well, when do you think the Lord's coming back? You know, it looks like it's coming back soon. I can see the signs. You know, we sing about it. I remember singing about it when I was a teenager, you know, and all of that, like it was just going to be the next day and everything. And I've gotten where I tell people this, Amy. I say, I don't know, but I know this. He's closer to coming back today than he was yesterday. And tomorrow he'll be closer still. And I'm going to tell you this, and thinking about that, you are as young today as you ever will be. You know. And tomorrow you'll still be as young as you'll ever be. So look at it like that. Write that down. You are younger today than you will ever be again. King Solomon said, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no delight in them. You're a young person. Well, finally, Caleb accepted the challenge, a difficult task. We've already talked about that. But look down the last verse. We read verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day where he had trod before. For thou heardst in that day how the Anakims, those were the giants, were there, and the cities were great and fenced, they had walls around them. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Many of you are facing difficult tasks. I kind of call these difficult tasks giants. You know, you may be, you know, looking for a job and you're not sure about that. You may be trying to graduate. You just graduate and you're going to college. That could be a giant for you. You may already be in college and you don't want to go back. That can be a giant. Maybe you're home and that's your giant. I don't know. Your old mean daddy. He could be your giant. Whatever. We will face giants and difficult tasks in our life. Dare to take on the giants. The Bible challenges us all the way through it to face these difficult tasks, these giants, in a way that would honor God. And notice Caleb says, perhaps the Lord will be with me. And you know, as Christians, we got a little advantage theologically on old Caleb. We really do. What that means is we understand a little more about God because we have His Word that Caleb didn't have. And we know from His Word that God's going to be with us. Well, listen to some verses that show this. In Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For Thou art," what? "With me." Yeah. You don't have to fear because God is with you. Isaiah 43, 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, thou not, for I am with thee." Don't be dismayed. "I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Genesis 28:15, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee of." He is with us. Right? Now, God is with us. He is with us so that we can accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. You know, Paul over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about God being a great God. And one of the reasons He's a great God is that He gives us mercy and compassion and comfort when we are going through tough times. And the reason He does it, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 1, "He comforts us in our tribulation so that we will be able to comfort them when them who are in trouble." In other words, God helps us through tough times so we can help other people through tough times. The Lord is with us so that we can share Him with others. Well, let's all do this. Let's dare to be different. And let's realize that we're as young as we're ever going to be, and that God will always have a purpose in our lives. And to let's accept the challenge of difficult tasks when we come into contact with them. And let's do this showing the world that Jesus is our Lord. But there's one thing that we must have if we want to be different enough to make a difference like Caleb did. And that's Jesus. And Jesus Christ came and Jesus died on the cross because of our sin. You know, if we do not do something about sin, if something isn't done about sin, there's no way we can be effective for God, for Jesus. But praise God, on the cross, Jesus took care of the sin. And all we need to do is turn from our sins to Him and believe on Him and call upon Him, and He will come in and He takes our sins upon Himself and He pays for those sins. He's already done it on the cross of Calvary. So I challenge you today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and I always do this, and as I've told y'all before, I do that for two reasons. One is there may be somebody here that's not saved. The other thing is, every time I go over that gospel, that teaches it to you, so you, when you leave here, you can say, "What did Brother Alex say at the end? You run into somebody who needs Jesus." You can repeat that. That's why I do it every week. If you do not have Jesus, You can never be a Caleb. You can never make a difference for God. So I encourage you to come to Jesus. If you do have a relationship with Jesus, if you are saved, I want to challenge you to walk with Him daily. Because when you do this, when you're walking with Jesus, you're going to be different. You're going to be different. You're going to stand out like an oddball. And that's okay. I think one of the biggest problems that the modern church and modern Christians have gotten into is this idea of thinking we've got to be like the world in order to win them to Jesus. No, we do not. I've had people tell me that, you know. I don't want somebody like me. I'm in a mess. Be like Jesus. Hang out with Jesus. You'll make a difference. And you know, you'll have the strength to do it. And you'll be able to do whatever difficult thing God may call you to do that will make a difference. So we'll get back to the dare thing. I'm not going to make you stand up and stand on one foot and do all that stuff, Chico. I'm just going to dare you to walk with Jesus and make a difference. If we'll all do that, the world will change. It's an amazing thing, walking with Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer.